is the 438th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter from the AJC, here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the Falcons went down 29-25 on an 11-yard touchdown pass from Baker Mayfield to Kane Otten. With the 31 seconds left in the game, the Falcons had battled back to take the lead with 3:23 to go, but the defense, which had been stout for most of the day, could not stop Baker Mayfield on a 12-play, 75-yard touchdown drive, and now the NFC South is in a total mess. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents...
Hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny...
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and the Falcons went down 19-10 during a 7-possession scoring drought. Then they were able to get moving there, got a couple touchdowns, took a 25-22 lead with 3:22 to go, but then could not hold the lead. Here is Coach Arthur Smith on the last drive, the last play, and the offensive drought, which all led to the defeat here today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
The offense was able to get moving late, but what happened on the last stand for the defense there?
A couple of things. You got to give Tampa credit. You know, made some plays, obviously hit some plays on the outside or out some outbreakers, and, you know, got the big first down. They got the chunk yardage, and then obviously the one they got for the go-ahead touchdown with the tight end. So, you know, we had plenty of opportunities really in all three phases. You know, credit to Tampa. You know, obviously be frustrated losing like that. Plenty of opportunities, but, you know, we'll get back to work. But
on the last play, was that ball supposed to go into the end zone?
Well, yes, but it's also what you're trying to set up. You know, they sink on it similar. It probably didn't develop the same way, similar to kind of that iron bowl play. If anybody saw that, that's a pretty common in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to have a shot, you know, if you got something underneath. But, yeah, I just take a lot of look at it too. But that was what we were trying to do.
And then the other critical error was right before the you get the safety, you get the ball back, miss the field goal, and then get the ball to start the second half and not able to put a couple things together there to maybe
sure, we had,
take
we had
control.
Opportunities, and yeah, we did. And, you know, we obviously, you know, missed two field goals, you know, had decent field position at times, you know, had our opportunities to sell the same way on defense, you know, and that's the NFL. And like I said, we found a way to get back and, you know, made some plays late, you know, we're able to go ahead and, you know, unfortunately they made one more play than we did. But yeah, there was plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, no doubt. The drought started. They came out a 16-play drive, then stalled, get a field goal, then the interception on the bubble screen, then they get a touchdown. Then after that, they went into a drought. It was missed field goal, safety, missed field goal, then four punts. So that's seven straight drives with absolutely nothing, not moving the ball, not looking good at all. They gotta, you know, you gotta eliminate. It's too late in the season for that. You gotta keep it going.
stringing together points, you know, I think the field goals were big misses, but you can't have seven possession droughts and call yourself a playoff team here. So let's hear from quarterback Desmond Ridder on the last play of the game.
I mean, yeah, obviously those plays are supposed to go in the end zone. You don't have any special calls for whatever it was, first and 38, 43, whatever it is. I mean, obviously the ball's got to get in the end zone. We came up 2 yards short. We'll go back and look at it and see, you know, if there was another guy open or not. But obviously, you know, that's a play that you only rep a couple times throughout the year for these, you know, exact circumstances. And obviously they came up.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a couple of yards, 3 yards short, not two. Here's Ridder on that scoring drought. They were able to get two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. You know, yeah, they were juggling linemen. You know, two starters didn't play today, Dalman and McGarry. And then Matthews and Lindstrom went out. Lindstrom came back. Here is Ridder on the scoring drought, fourth quarter TDs, and the linemen.
You know, we just got to be better, got to be more consistent, you know, got to be able to go out there and just get the first play started, get it going. Obviously, you know, in that safety, we were backed up. I just got to get the ball out of my hands, not sit back there and pat it, just throw it away if it's not there. And then, like I said, we just got to be consistent overall and just be better.
And what was working for you all in the two fourth quarter touchdown drives?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we were just moving the ball. O-line was doing a heck of a job up front. One in pass protection, two in run. And yeah, we were just able to keep the ball moving, keep the consistency going, and just keep it moving forward.
What do you have to say about the linemen who had to step in and play today? It was a slew of them.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a heck of a job all year of just being ready and staying ready. Obviously, you know, we have a great starting five who is normally out there, and we have great backups as well. And, you know, like I've said, they've done a great job from whether they were on scout team or whether they were, you know, in and out with the ones throughout camp, throughout the season. They've been prepared and ready for this opportunity, and they took advantage of it. They did a heck of a job out there. So, you know, whether it was Kyle Hinton, whether it was Neusel, whether it was Vrabel, Storm, it doesn't matter who it was. They all did a heck of a job out there.
Yeah, no doubt. I got to talk to Jake Matthews outside of the locker room. He was talking to us. He came over, talked to his folks. And I just said, hey, coach said he could have went back in if he needed to. And he kind of looked at me and was like, yeah, it got real pretty bad. He's looking at his left, his ankle down there. We'll just see in the morning when he gets the MRI. So we'll see how bad it was. He got his ankle rolled in the game. Here is kicker Youngway Koo on his two missed field goals.
Yeah, just reset and going back to the preparation and just trying to make some adjustments on the sideline. But at the end of the day, I didn't hit it great. And I gotta make that. I cost us today. That's on me, and I'm just going to go watch the film and try to get better.
So you're taking the loss on your
back? I mean, those are, you know, crucial points, right? Those are crucial turnovers. So for me, I'm just going to, you know, go back to the routine and preparation and all that. But those 6 points, those are crucial swings. So, I mean, guys play their, you know, play their off, and feel like I cost one today. So I'm just going to, you know, go back to work. That's all I can do.
There he is, the kicker, Youngway Koo. Feels like he cost the team today. Richie Grant is always a gamer. He spoke again. I was able to talk to him today after the game. He was in coverage on the Auden touchdown, much like the McBride play in Arizona. Later on, Jesse Bates didn't like some of the questioning that the mob was at, the media group was asking, and was yelling over them to not ask pertinent questions. And, you know, folks got a job to do. They're emotional, but Jesse was probably out of line there. So here's Richie Grant on the final play of the game and how the defense played throughout.
On the last play, is that just a good throw there?
Hell yeah, it was a good throw. Cotton made a good catch, but, you know, it was a 50-50 ball. He came down with it. So, just, you know, get on credit, you know. Mm-hmm. They made a good play.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, you know, what does it say about the team? Y'all win it all the way. Mm-hmm. A lot of stops and so forth. A lot of, look like I had a lot of different down packages and stuff out there. Mm-hmm. What was the key to slowing them down the rest of the day?
So really, at the end of the day, we play our ball. You know, we're gonna swarm. We're gonna be aggressive. But at the end of the day, it's just about playing our ball. Coaches do a good job, you know, mixing it up. It's not always the same thing, but if we play our ball, I think we got a pretty good chance coming out with W. You know, we didn't get it done today, but we still in it.
Everybody ready to move on? It's still the division still there for the taking, for the go.
Absolutely.
Everybody's same record.
Absolutely. Everything's still right there for us. This one hurt. You know, we knew what we wanted to do today, but we didn't get it done, so it definitely hurt. But like I said, we still in it.
All right, Richie Grant, they're still in it. Let's go on to Calais Campbell. And if the offensive struggles, you know, kind of starting to take a toll on the defense.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, it's a team game, you know, and it's going to take all of us to win. And, you know, I mean, it's football. They're going to make plays. They're going to be putting suggestions. We prepare for it all, you know. And sudden change, you know, line up, I mean, in front of everybody grass, you know. So, you know, it was definitely one of those things where it's like, yo, just keep showing wood, keep making plays. We'll have a chance to win at the end. And we did. We try to get it done.
All right, here is Calais Campbell on his message to the team.
You know, I think the biggest message right now is that everything we want is still in front of us. You know, we just get back to work. You know, everybody, you know, focus on what you can do to help us win the next game.
All right. That's they want to keep the focus on the team and what they have to do to stay in the race here. Now, Drake London had a mega game, 10 catches for 172 yards. Here is Drake on getting back to the lab.
Come out harder than we possibly did this game. Come out harder than we ever did. We could have set ourselves up pretty well. And right now, we just got to go back in the lab and figure it out.
Yep, he wants to get back in the lab and figure it out. Here is Drake London on the kicker, Youngway Koo.
He's a captain for a reason. And we going back Koo forever, you know? He's automatic. We're coming in for him. And I know that when he comes back, he's going to be even hungrier. And I guarantee he won't miss another one.
All right, you need a scorecard to keep up with the line changes today. Let's just go over them real quick. Storm Norton had to play right tackle for Caleb McGarry. Drew Dahlman was named inactive 90 minutes before kickoff. Ryan Neuzel making his first NFL start at center. And then during the course of the game, left tackle Jake Matthews had his knee ankle rolled pretty bad. And Tyler Vrabel, son of Titans coach Mike Vrabel, came in and played left tackle in his first NFL extended play action. And then Chris Lindstrom got hurt and Kyle Hinton came in. So they finished the first half with a lineup of left tackle Tyler Vrabel, left guard Matt Bergeron, center Ryan Neuzel, right guard Kyle Hinton, and then right tackle Storm Norton. So again, across the line there was Vrabel, Bergeron, Neuzel, Hinton, and Storm Norton. That was your Falcons line to end the first half. Lindstrom came back in and played, so it was two-fifths of the line for most of the day. They generally held up other than that drought there. But here is what Matt Bergeron had to say to us after the game. Matt Bergeron, the starting left guard for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough game. You know, obviously we had a lot of opportunities to win the game, you know, in all three phases, you know, whether it's special teams, offense, defense, we all had a shot to win the game. Obviously, we fell short, but, you know, the type of players in this locker room, we'll keep working, we'll put our head down and work and try and, you know, squeeze in to get in the playoffs.
And then the changes,
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how, you know, how we work in our room. You know, everybody got a, you know, ready to play mentality. You know, you never know when your name's going to get called. And, you know, it was at one point it was just me and four of the guys. And, you know, we figured a way to make it work. So it just shows how, you know, how well coached we are and how, you know, how we're communicating well.
And then we started working for you on the fourth quarter. You got a couple touchdowns to take the lead.
I mean, you know, we're a team, you know, we consider ourselves in shape, you know, the way we work at practice, the way we work, you know, in the day in and day out, you know, we're going to, you know, play our best football in the fourth quarter. So that's just the mentality of our team. We're never going to give up. You know, it's also mentality to just never give up and just keep pushing, whether, you know, you're down 15 or down 3, you know, we're always going to try and squeeze in.
All right, we're going to take a break here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We've heard from Coach Arthur Smith, quarterback Desmond Ridder, kicker Youngway Koo, safety Richie Grant, defensive end Calais Campbell, wide receiver Drake London, and left guard Matt Bergeron. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
I'm Ernie Suggs.
And I'm Ned Ravone. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
All right, we're back here, episode 438, the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Falcons are tied for first place with Tampa Bay and New Orleans at 6-7. Just want you to know that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're going to wrap up here with some notes, break down the NFC South for you. And we had mailbag questions today. We had about 50 responses on our Twitter. Check in on the fans and how they were doing. So I want to go to the sidebar I just finished on NFC South, because it's got the breakdown in there. So let's start with that. So everybody's 6-7, and everybody's got 4 games to go. And the Saints beat the Panthers today. That's why they are 6-7. Now, over the remaining 4 games, the Falcons have the easiest schedule. Their teams are 19-33. They will play at Carolina 1-12, host the Colts 7-6, play at the Bears 5-8, and close out on the road at New Orleans 6-7. The Bears might be problematic as they beat the Giants today, and the Lions drilled the Falcons 20-6 earlier in the season. Okay, now Tampa Bay is teams are 21-31. I got that at 4-0-3. They travel to Green Bay, but they have 2 of their final 3 games at home. They host Jacksonville and the Saints, and they close out at the Panthers. So, like, they looks like that. It looks like 2-2 to me. So, that would make them 8-9, the 3-time defending champs. So, you need to get to 9 some kind of way. So, the Falcons need to go 3-1. All right, let's look at the Saints. Okay, because Tampa Bay's in first, because head-to-head is tied. Then you have common opponents. They have a 5-4 record there to 3-3 to the Falcons. And then the conference record, the Bucs are 5-4, and the Falcons are 4-5. So we have all that in the story.
scoring off the top of my head on that part of it. But here, the Saints, looking at them, 431, 22-29 is the record of their remaining opponents. They host the Giants, who play on Monday night against the Packers. And then they play at the Los Angeles Rams, who are 6-7. Then at Tampa Bay, 6-7. Then at the Falcons, 6-7. So for them, that's 1-3. We could say that's 1-3. That would make them 7-10 and out of the playoffs. So the Falcons need to get to 9. So to get to 9, they got to win 3. And, of course, that means you can't stumble at Carolina next week. I don't care what you do. If you do that, you're pretty much over for the season. And then it's a long, long, long off season for you. But, yeah, we need to break down the NFC South. For the Falcons, of course, won that opener 24-10 against the Panthers. They have the easiest path. But we know, as we've seen this season, you know, they like to make things tougher than they need to be. Like today, when they could have blown this team out for the second time, they let them hang around. Then they got a 31-yard screen to get a 19-10 lead. And then they had to scramble back. They scrambled back, took the lead, and then couldn't hold it. So, you know, when you see the good teams go out there, they go and put their foot down and pull away from people. And don't let it turn into a one-score do-or-die situation. So that's our wrap-up of the NFC South. Let's look at some of the game notes, and we'll hear from some of the mailbag fans to wrap it up. We'll try to keep it classy there. We saw the fans here booing tonight for Desmond Ridder, but he flipped them with those two touchdown drives and the score. To take the lead, the fans started cheering at that point. So we'll see how that goes forward. But here are the game notes. The Falcons had 434 yards, total net yards of offense. Marked Atlanta's fifth game this season with more than 400 yards of total offense. Tied for the third best in the NFL behind Miami, San Francisco, each with six games. Okay, that's a good stat, and that's good for yards, but not good when you're not getting points. So, and I mean, you know, just ask yourself: do you think of you think offense in the NFL? You think of Tyreek in Miami, McCaffrey in San Francisco, and then the next thought is the Falcons. But hey, they got to score; they're getting the yards. So. At the break between the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games, Atlanta was the only NFL team to score a 20-yard touchdown, 20-plus air yards in each of the last three games. Another another stat that doesn't parlay to winning. Falcons defense limit Tampa Bay to 6-16 on third down. That's a winning stat. They didn't win on that 3rd-and-10 on the 48. When Chris Godwin pulled away from D. Alford and got the 31-yarder to keep that last-ditch drive on time. So that was the big third down they missed. So the defense is holding opposing offenses to 33.5% on third down this season, just second in the NFL behind Cleveland at 29%. And Cleveland had a big win today, beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, Ridder, 26 of 40 for 347 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The Bucs dropped a couple of interceptions. Another one was nullified by a penalty. So he had a 90.3 rating. He also had 15 rushes on the ground on four carries and one rushing touchdown. Right. Bijan Robinson had 88 yards from scrimmage, 55 receiving, 34 rushing. And, you know, a lot of people have a question on, hey, what they were running the ball. They ran against the Saints, they ran against the Jets, and today they decided to throw it 40 times. That was, I think, because the line play, and he felt they couldn't move the Bucs. So apparently, he thought this is a chance to throw it around the park.
didn't look good a lot of times, but they got a lot of yards. Okay. Did Bijan. Okay. Drake London, career high in receptions and yards, 10, 172. All right. He became the first Falcon since Julio Jones to have more than 170 yards in a game. Julio did that in week 3 of 2018. We had 173. He also became the first Falcon since Russell Gage to have at least 10 catches in a game. That was 11 in week 13 of 2021 for Gage. Pitts had 3 receptions for 57 yards and 1 touchdown. It's his second of the season and 5th of his career, 36-yard touchdown on an out-and-up pattern. That was pretty sweet. He was wide open. Johnny Smith had 4 for 27. He now has a career-high 460 yards and also marked 7th game this season with at least 4 catches. All right, on the defensive side of the ball, Caden Ellis led the way. He had 10 tackles. Jesse Bates finished with 9, 1 tackle for loss. And on a 31-yard screen, Jesse took an inside angle, came steaming up, and White read it, broke it inside, and there was plenty of room. He took it to the house for 31 yards. So even the great Jesse Bates can miss a take a bad angle to the ball from time to time. So in his first career start, Andre Smith had 8 tackles, 1 forced fumble. His first of the season, there was controversy late. It looked like he had the ball out. Coach Smith called a timeout to give him time to look at it. He couldn't throw the flag with under 2 minutes. They didn't look at it. It was officiating hasn't gone your way, but, you know, you got to be good enough to beat the team and the officials in some regards. Clark Phillips started. He played left cornerback with Jeff Okuda out, and Clark did a good job. He had a career-high 5 tackles. Did get called for a late penalty that was costly on the last drive, and he had 2 passes defense in his first career start. Now, this could be a big loss here. Catavius Street left the game with a shoulder injury. He had 3 tackles, 1 for loss, quarterback hit, 1 sack. You know, he with a shoulder, that's probably a pick, and he's probably done for the season. But we'll wait here on that. Or maybe he's just a sore shoulder. But, yeah, you know, when you hear shoulder, you start thinking torn pick. And he was in pain, so we'll see. Also, for the record books, Younghoe Koo passed Mick Luckhurst, 558 points for 3rd most points in team history with 563. Also, historically, the team did honor the 98 team at the end of the first quarter. I missed that. We was wrapping up doing game stuff here, but sure the guys were happy to be out there and to be celebrated and to be seen. Now, let's go to Twitter for our check-in with you all. And said, so, Falcon fans, how are you all dealing with the loss to the Bucs? Okay, we're going to try to keep it classy. We got an Eddie Murphy gift. Flabbergasted Falconing football at its finest. Okay, we got to fire this guy. We're not. Another game we gave away. SMH from Ricky Nance. This offseason, I'm going to read it, not like how it's written, but I know what he's saying. We need to address QB, and we have multiple options, just not Ritter. Then I will give Arthur 1 more year, but I'm 50-50 on that. Okay, how many games have they lost this year, allowing the other team to score TD on the final drive? Seems like this has been regularly happening for 40 years. Okay, we made mistakes. We still in it. On to week 15. That's Ashley. It's going to take perseverance. I still ride or die with my team. This is what they do. They are still in the playoff hunt. And they can get a higher draft position. Either way is fine with me because I never expected to start winning until next season. All right, here's Tony. Tony Bagnulo. He was at the Biz. Saw it live at the Biz. It's even uglier in person. Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah, my eyes were hurting, too, during that seventh possession drought. I turned to my partner, Ken Zagura, a columnist who's writing on this, and he'll, y'all can see him online. I was like, Ken, my eyes hurt. and he said, yeah, you sports writer of the year, you deserve better from your team. But, hey, they cleaned it up. And got it going there a little bit late. We saw some semblance of pro football along the way today. Here is Nate, Nasty Nate. Get Koo and Grant off my team, bro. Okay. The best kicker you had in a long time. Miss a couple and you want to run him out of town. Okay. All right. Storm Fan 40. It doesn't hurt anymore. I'm completely numb to the pain at this point. All right, we'll finish up with two more here. Brandon Burgraff. I love some of these Twitter names. I think we still win the division. Okay, he's a believer. All right, and the last one. If we had an actual OC, I would be more bothered. Maybe we should get a real OC. All right, let's talk about that. I don't think, the coach is an OC, and he's got his buddy Dave Ragone to, you know, bounce things off of. What they do need, in my humble opinion, is a passing game coordinator. Passing game is not fluid. I mean, yeah, they had 347 yards a day, but, you know, there was some jump balls. He was throwing up to Drake London. The 45-yarder was a jump ball. Drake just went up, former basketball player just went up and got him a rebound. And then the heave at the end, that was just a Hail Mary heave. So, but the passing game, the quick game stuff, the handoffs to Bijan, Bijan account as pass plays, you know, pad the yards and stuff. But yeah, passing game coordinator, go with the rushing attack. Definitely need some revamping of the offensive staff. A quarterback coach to help Ritter. You know, they let Charles London go to Tennessee and then replace him with a quarterback coach. Dave Ragone is doing a lot of that work too. But, I mean, if you have another mind that's over there that could handle the quarterbacking, and then you got your offensive coordinator to help him with the planning more towards game stuff, maybe that's a way to move forward. You got a couple options on staff, TJ Yates, Matt Shaw, but hey, this is off-season talk. We'll get to that. But I definitely believe they need a passing game coordinator and perhaps a quarterback coach too moving forward. But four games to go here. Everybody's tied, 6-7. And it's on now. Buccaneers won the last three with Tom Brady down there. Now they're trying to win four with Baker Mayfield, and it's all set. They just got to go to Green Bay and beat Jacksonville. That'll probably wrap the whole thing up because of the two games they closed with, Saints and Panthers. Falcons got to beat – they can't slip up against the Panthers. Got to beat the Colts and the Bears, and then go down and stomp the Saints out, and you're in the playoffs, and you got division champs. Saints, they're probably the one that's dead in the water, but they showed signs of life by beating Carolina today, 28-6. So, hey, with that, we're going to go ahead and get out of here for the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We'll be back on Wednesday, try to assess that mess that's going on up in Charlotte with the Carolina Panthers and see what they're trying to do. We do know Thomas Brown's up there. We might try to effort him, see if he's available to come on and help us explain what's going on up there in Charlotte. But with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.